Good. Welcome to church. It's awesome that you're all here tonight. It is good to be here. Amen. Me and Adrian are glad that we are here in church. It's good to be here, yeah? Good. Woo. We are running. We got to do it. Well, I think the guys had another song for the end, but let's do that instead. I think it's in the Western culture. We probably get it from the British. And we're not very good at expressing movement and joy and ourselves. And it's part of our culture, but it's not part of God's culture. The kingdom culture is, I've got this joy in my heart because Jesus died for me and he saved me. And it's the best thing ever. And so, you know, I can let my legs know about that. I can let my hands know about that. I'm not an extroverted person. I'm not a jump around dance kind of person. I never dance. The only place that I will dance is in church on a Sunday, and that's because it's not about me, it's about God. And you know, if I look a bit stupid, then that's cool. My personal opinion is, you know, if the people in the front row are dancing and you're not, then you're the one that is weird. Because from my perspective, everybody is dancing. That's why I don't sit in the back. Anyway, get into it. I just go for it. Have fun. Hey, we're in church. It's not supposed to be boring. So run around in circles, jump up and down. Go for it. Awesome. Before I start, Mum shared a little bit this morning, but Dad is currently in Laos, but he's been in Thailand on the last week, and just amazing, amazing stuff. And the Klars, if you were here this morning, Dad has been meeting with them, talking with them, at this couple that live in Thailand, and they're doing incredible work. You will hear a lot more about that, and I'm sure when Dad gets back next week, then he'll be able to talk a lot more about it. But just doing heaps of work with sex workers in the south of Thailand and trafficked people, and it's just a huge need and a horrible situation, but incredible that God's using people to do something there and that we can be a part of it. So stay tuned for that. Amen? Good. Good, good, good. All right, tonight I'm going to talk about Jesus. I hope that's okay. You did come to church. So if you're not okay with that, then you may have come to the wrong building. But I want to talk about Jesus because I think like we are pretty comfortable with this idea or an idea of God, like we as a society. Like people were like, oh yeah, whatever. Like, you know, you can talk to somebody about God and maybe there'll be debate, but it's not that big a thing, and you know, go around the world and people are kind of okay with this idea of there being a higher power most of the time. And you know, we have a huge Buddhist temple in our city that is a tourist attraction. Like, people are interested in religion. But when you start to talk about Jesus, it starts to get different. It starts to get a bit confrontational. It starts to do something in our heart and we get a bit worried. And so a lot of people are like, yeah, okay, I can kind of think, oh, maybe there's a God. Like, maybe somewhere out there. But when you talk about Jesus, they start to freak out a little bit. Is it just me? Or is anybody else? Okay, good. And so I want to talk tonight about Jesus and about how Jesus is 100% God and 100% man. And how this is this crazy contradiction that doesn't seem to make any sense, but it's something that we need to get really comfortable with. Is that cool? Good. I'm going to pray. God, thank you so much for this time that we have together. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak to us, and thank you that you want to say something really powerful tonight. God, I pray that we would be open to what you want to say and that you would speak to us. Amen. Awesome. It's good. I like these guys leaning forward in the front row. It's good. I was thinking about it the other day and thinking about, like, what's your approach to the word? And I'm not talking about me because I don't care. I'm talking about, like, the word of God. And do you lean into it? Do you get into it? Are you, like, listening? Are you there ready to listen? Or are you right, like, oh, back? Or maybe I'll have a power nap during Andrew's message. I don't know. Maybe that's you, but what's your posture? What's your approach? Now, I'm not saying you have to physically lean forward the entire time I speak, because that's uncomfortable. But let's be awake. Let's be ready to hear what God has to say to us. Amen? Amen? Good. So Jesus, 100% God, 100% man. The Bible calls him the lion and the lamb. That's weird because lions are big and lambs are little. And it's this weird thing about how Jesus could be God. He could be the creator of the universe. He could be everything. He could be on the throne. He can be all of that. And he can be 100% a man born at Christmas time in a manger, little baby. And he's both. I thought that's a bit strange. No? Yes, you with me tonight? And I was reading in Hebrews this week, and I was reading just about Jesus. And so just for a bit of background, the book of Hebrews was written to the Jewish people, or the Hebrew people. And so these are the people that, you know, they're God's chosen people. They have known God for a really, really long time. But then Jesus has come and changed everything. And so Paul is writing to them and he's saying, you understand about God and you understand about like sacrifice and sin and trying to get right with God, but you don't understand about Jesus. And so I'm going to talk to you about who Jesus is. Is that cool? And so he does that. And so Hebrews is about saying, okay, there are all these religious things that you did, but then Jesus came and he changed everything and this is what he did. And it's great. And if you're not reading anything at the moment, then you should be, and you should be reading Hebrews. So he says, I'm just going to read a couple of chunks. It says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. That's Jesus. The exact representation of God's being, sustaining all things by his word. Crazy. It says, after he provided purification for sins, that's him coming to earth, dying on the cross for us, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Crazy. Okay, and it goes, wait, I wanted to read a little bit more. From verse 8 it says, but God says this about the Son. He says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. Whew. He also says, in the beginning, God, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. This is Jesus, and this is God. And here's another confusing one. Jesus and God, they're the same. And the Holy Spirit is the same. And so there's three in one, and that's the Trinity. I'm just gonna cover that. Mitch had a really good explanation of the Trinity. And he's like, it's like a pie. And you cut the pie up into three pieces, but they're all still pie. Does that make sense? That's just everything is explained now. Look, people have been trying to figure it out for a long time, and I don't think that I have all the answers, but I like the pie. It's a good... That's God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all God. They're all pie, and they're there together. Amen. And so when the Bible talks about God, and when it talks about the Word, it's talking about Jesus, because Jesus is there with God and he is God, and he was there forever, created forever. So he is 100% God. Amen? And come with me to Ephesians chapter 2, and it says this. It says in verse 6, Jesus, or who being in the very nature God, so he is God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a human being, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So Jesus is 100% God, but then he becomes 100% man so that he can die on the cross for our sin. Amazing, hey? Come on. You got to get excited about that. I'm going to pray again. God, thank you so much for your Son, Jesus. Thank you that you chose to give up everything and to die on the cross for us, God, that we didn't deserve it, but you did it anyway because you love us and you want relationship with us, and you took the punishment that we deserved Jesus, we just give you all honor and praise forever and ever, and thank you. Thank you, God. Amen. You know, we need to understand how incredible it is that Jesus, the Word, the creator of the universe, there at the very beginning, always there now and forever and ever, gave up that position in heaven and said, I'm going to come down to earth and I'm going to live like a man and I'm going to be a man so that I can take the punishment that these people deserve. And that's just the biggest thing ever, and something that we can't get our heads around and can never get enough of, I think, and something that I hope that I am just blown away by for my entire life and never get used to it, because I think we can get used to it. If you've been around church, then you kind of know that. But it's this incredible thing. Amen? You know, I think sometimes we try and figure it out by going, okay, so Jesus, you know, he was like half God and he was like half a man, and like Hercules. I was remembering, like, did anybody watch the Hercules TV show when they were younger? It was like, was it a spin-off of Xena, or was Xena a spin-off of Hercules? Xena was a spin-off. If you don't know, then that's probably a good thing. And so you think, okay, so you know Hercules, you know his dad was Zeus, his mum was human, and so he was half God and half man, and so he was really strong, but he wasn't a god, like he wasn't as strong as a god. But that's not Jesus. Jesus is 100% God and 100% man, and that makes him 200% Jesus, which only makes sense when you're Jesus. And doesn't make sense anywhere else. You got to stick with me. I know that, you know, if you do maths, you're like, that doesn't work. But it does. It does work. You just have to get over your understanding, because the Bible says that his thoughts are higher than my thoughts and his ways are higher than my ways. And so maybe I don't fully understand how Jesus can be 100% of a man and 100% of a God, but he is. And so Jesus is God and Jesus is a man. Okay? With me? So then my question and what I was thinking about was a couple of things. Why? Why did he do that? And what does it mean for us? Like, why would Jesus give up being God to live on earth for us? And it's a simple answer. All of us have stuffed up and we can't fix it by ourselves. Now, all of us have done stuff wrong and lived our own ways, and there's no way that we can please God by anything that we do. And in the Old Testament, the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, they would sacrifice to God like lambs and goats and all sorts in an effort to please God. And the priests would come every single day and they would sacrifice for themselves and for the people so that they could come close to God and so that God would be pleased with them. And they would have to do it day after day after day, every single day, because it was never enough. And every time they made a sacrifice, they would do the wrong thing again. And so they would have to sacrifice it again. It's like when you get something stuck on your hand. Have you ever got like a sticker or, I don't know, something sticky on your hand, and then when you try to pick it off, it gets stuck to your other hand, and you just, I'm just Unco. And you can't take it off because it just keeps sticking, and that's like sin in your own effort. You try and get rid of it. You try and do the right thing, but it just keeps sticking to you. And so God just says, I'll do it myself. Because a perfect God demands a perfect sacrifice. But instead of getting that from us, which he can't, he says, well, I will give myself as a perfect sacrifice so that people can have relationship with me, so they can escape the punishment that they deserve. So that's why Jesus gives up heaven and becomes a man, because then he can be a perfect man and die the perfect death, the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Amen? Oh, come on. It's because God like needs justice, but he loves us. And so Jesus, being 100% God, 100% man, both fulfills the justice that God's required and the love that God requires. And it's an incredible thing. So what does it mean for us? It means a few things, but I'm going to just talk about a few tonight. It means that we have a representative in heaven, so that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. So it means that Jesus is there in heaven representing us so that we can come to God, and we don't have to come to God like scared because he's going to kill us, but we can come to God in awe and in confidence knowing that he loves us. Amen. And it says in Hebrews 4, in verse 14, it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You know, Jesus is there and he is mediating for us. He's like a defense lawyer, but instead of coming to God and pleading not guilty, because, you know, you could try that, but it's not going to work. It's like we've come to God and, you know, we just go, okay, guilty, that's my plea. And Jesus says, all right, but when it comes to sentencing, I'm going to take it. So it's not like, you know, Jesus is there to make excuses for the things that you have done wrong and try to get you off the hook. But Jesus is there taking the punishment that we deserve because there's no way we can pay it on our own. And so, you know, we can come to God and we can just say guilty, and then Jesus will take the rap. That's crazy. You know, when I was in primary school, like young, a friend of mine, who I can't remember his name, decided that it would be a cool idea to throw sticks over the fence at cars that were driving past. This was when I was in Queensland, you know, that's just how it is. And so we were there and we were throwing sticks across the fence at cars that drove past because that's really, really smart. And I remember getting in a lot of trouble from our teacher and having to go to the principal's office and get detention and all of that. And, you know, I was 6 years old and I still remember it quite vividly because it's scary when you get in trouble and you're a little tiny kid. And I think sometimes that's how we approach God. It's like we've done the wrong thing, you know, do the crime, do the time. So we come to God because, you know, he's going to judge us, he's going to punish us, and so we're scared, and rightly so. But then Jesus comes in and just says, I will take the punishment for you. So we have a representative in heaven and we can approach God with confidence. This is the biggest, biggest thing ever. Amen? I don't know if you're excited enough about that because that's life, that's everything. You know, in the Old Testament, the Jewish people were slaves to the Egyptians. You know, the Egyptians, they built the pyramids, all that stuff. And God is going to set them free and he's going to release them. And so the last night that they're there, because the Pharaoh, he won't let them go. He won't let them go. And God says, I'm going to show him something that'll make him let you go. And so he says to the Pharaoh, and Moses says to the Pharaoh, he says, if you don't let the people go, then God is going to kill every firstborn son in the city. That's heavy duty. But then he says to the Israelites, he says, sacrifice a lamb and put its blood around your door frame. And when the angel that's coming to kill everybody, it sounds horrible, I know. When the angel is coming to kill everybody sees that on your doorpost, he will pass over your house and he will spare you. And so the Israelite people, they took the lamb and they sacrificed the lamb and they put the blood on the doorpost so that then this angel came and like all of the firstborn sons of the Egyptians died in one night. It's a good game. And the Israelites were spared because they put this lamb's blood on the doorpost. And that's Jesus for us. And that's why the Bible says, like, saved by the blood of the lamb. And it's this picture of, you know, we all deserve to die. But when God looks at us, he sees Jesus' blood on the doorpost. And his judgment passes over and he can love us. And that's what it's about, amen? You know, and so we have this incredible representative in heaven because Jesus is 100% God and he's 100% man. You know what else we have? We have an example to follow so that we can live out our calling. You know, if Jesus was just 100% God, then there's no way we could live up to his standard of living, and there's no way we could do anything, and we would look at his life and just go, yeah, whatever, like it's too much. But he's 100% man. It says in that verse in Hebrews that he was tempted in the same way as us. He felt the same things as us, but he never sinned. You know, God has a huge plan for you. He has a massive plan for our lives, and we need to follow Jesus. And we can follow Jesus because he's 100% man. You know, it's the humanity of Jesus that makes him followable. Does that make sense? No, because he was tempted the same way, and he suffered the same way, and he had the same difficulties that we did, then I can look to him, and I can see how he responded, and I can follow him, and I can try and be like him. You know, it's like Batman. Stay with me. You know, Batman is a superhero, yeah? But he doesn't actually have any superpowers. He's just really, really rich. And so he trains himself, and he gets cool stuff, and then he becomes a superhero, okay? And then Superman is a superhero because, you know, he's Superman. And he didn't do any, like, training. He doesn't have any cool gadgets. He's just really strong because he's Superman. And so Jesus is like Superman and Batman together. Come on. That's not heretical at all. You know, when Jesus talked and when he was on earth, he told stories, and he always told stories about farming and about sheep and stuff because that's what the people understood. And, you know, I went and watched Batman the other day. You've all seen Batman. It's what we understand. So, come on. You can stay with me on that. It's not bad. But the thing about Batman is that, you know, theoretically, you could be Batman. Like, anybody could be Batman or Batwoman. You got to go and train with Liam Neeson for a few years, and then when you're really strong, then you get like a secret cave and a suit, and you can be Batman. You can buy the suit on eBay. Don't do it, Josh. I know you're thinking about it. But anyway, what I'm saying is we can't be Jesus. Jesus is 100% God. But we can be like Jesus. Jesus is 100% man. So Jesus is an example for us to follow because he lived like we have lived. And he did the things that we did. And he had relationships that he had to work on. He had people that he cared about. He suffered. He struggled. He was tempted. And so we can follow him. You know, Peter was one of the disciples. And Peter spent years walking with Jesus every day, following him, and he saw Jesus do incredible things. He saw Jesus heal people and raise people from the dead and calm storms and do all of this stuff. And he followed his example. And in Acts 3, Jesus has died and he has risen again, and the disciples are left here to build the church. And it says that Peter and John, it's in Acts 3 verse 1, they were walking up to the temple to pray. And there's this guy there who was lame from birth. And he got put in the temple every day to beg people for money. And it says he sees Jesus and he sees Peter and John about to enter, and he asks them for money. And Peter says, verse 4, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. That's amazing. And it's not Jesus, it's Peter in Jesus' name. And so Jesus, because he was a man, Peter saw him every day and he lived with him and he knew that he was God, but he also had faith to say, okay, I can do this in the name of Jesus. And so we have this example where we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do what we are called to do because Jesus was a man and he showed us the way, and because Jesus is God, and so he empowers us. So then these things that seem like a contradiction actually start to make sense. Because Jesus' humanity means we can follow him, and his deity, his godness, means that he empowers us and he gives us strength that we could never get any other way. Amen? Batman and Superman. And we have a God who understands, so we can have a relationship with him. You know, people don't understand something completely until they've experienced it too. You know, you go overseas or something and you can talk to people about it, you can show them photos, but it's not quite the same as being there, yeah? And it's the same with a lot of things. And so I think sometimes people's issue with God is that he doesn't understand. So, well, God's, you know, up in heaven in a cloud. He doesn't get the things that are in my life. He doesn't get the problems that I face. But he does, because Jesus was a man, 100% a man. And he did all the things that we've done, and he lived the way that we lived, and he gets it. He understands what it's like to be human. And that means that he's not distant, but he's close. Amen? You know, before Jesus came, there was this curtain in the temple. So there's a temple, which is where people came to worship God, and there was this big curtain in the back, and it enclosed the holy of holies, which was the place where the presence of God was. And if you wanted to get into the holy of holies, like you had to be the high priest, and you had to do all these sacrifices, and you had to do all this stuff, and then you just once every little while you could go in to the curtain, and so I'm going to go behind. And so like they would go in, and the curtain they reckon was like, it was like 3 meters thick or something, and it was this crazy. It's like, nope, nobody can get in. And so you can't see me, yeah? Behind here. You can see, yeah, okay. You get the point. And so there's this curtain where the priests would go, and they would be in the Holy of Holies, and nobody else could go in, and nobody could experience the presence of God except for this one guy once a year or whenever, when he would go in there and have to be purified by all these sacrifices before he could enter the holiest of holies where the presence of God was. And then Jesus came, and he turned everything upside down. He changed it all. And it says in Mark 15, and I think I read this from a different verse the other week, but Mark 15:35 says, at noon, Jesus is on the cross. Darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani. I should have practiced. Which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? So at that moment, he feels the separation from God that he's never felt before, because he's 100% God, 100% man. But in that moment, he takes all the weight of our sin and all the weight of everything that we've done on himself to take that punishment for us, and he feels separate from God, and he's like, God, where are you? When some of those standing near heard this, they said, listen, he's calling Elijah. Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine, and he put it on a staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. They said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down. So these guys, they got no idea. It says in verse 37, with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So what happens is Jesus dies. And this curtain that was the holiest of holies that separated all of us from God's presence so that only one high priest once in a while could go in there. This curtain is just ripped in half from the top to the bottom. Everything is changed. Everything is different. Everything is torn upside down. And what used to separate us from God is no longer there. And so God can be close to us and we can be close to him. And that's what Jesus did. And that's why Jesus had to be 100% man and 100% God, so that he could offer his life as a perfect sacrifice and rip the curtain that separated us from God, so that we can come to God. So that we can come to him and have relationship with him. So that we don't need to take the punishment that we deserve, because Jesus says, I will take it for you. And that's what he did on the cross. And then all we need to do is come to God and say, God, yep, I want to know you. I want to be close to you. I believe in you. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe what he did, and I'm sorry for trying to fix it myself. Now, God, I know that I can't fix it, but you have. And so that's Jesus. Well, you know, a little bit. I'm just going to finish up. You know, God loves you and he wants a relationship with you. And all you need to do is ask him. You know, we don't have to sacrifice lambs or goats, which is a really good thing. We don't have to constantly do random stuff, but you know, Jesus once and for all paid the price. And so if we wanna accept that, then all we've got to do is accept that. All we've got to do is say, yeah, Jesus, I'm sorry, forgive me, come into my life. And so I want to pray that way with everybody tonight. So just maybe with your head bowed and your eyes closed. You know, if you want to say, yeah, Jesus, I want to put you in the right place again tonight. Maybe you've followed him before, but you feel really far from him, or maybe you've never said that before, but you want to say, yeah, Jesus, I understand that you are God, and I understand that you are a man, and that you died for me so that I could have forgiveness for the things that I had done wrong. And if you want to pray that way with me tonight, then just open up your heart. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand, but I will ask that if you pray it and you mean it, that you talk to the person that you came with or the friend that invited you, and you talk to them about what that means, and you start that life. Because being a Christian is not just about making a decision. Being a Christian is about following Jesus. And so this prayer is going to go up on the screen, and we're all just going to pray it together. It's really simple. And we're all going to pray out loud, so nobody will be embarrassed. It's like the running. But if you want to pray that maybe for the first time or just again, then you pray it from your heart and you speak it out to God. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life. I'll follow you. Amen. Thanks, guys.